Well, it's great to have you with us. If I haven't got to say hi yet, my name is Josh, and my wife and I are the pastors here in Freedom Church. And man, it's been so special getting to celebrate Christmas together so far. And if you're new to church, you're new to a church environment, this is the part of the service where we get to open up the Bible together and just look at what does God have to say about Christmas this time of year, and why should it matter to us? What does God want to speak to us about? So I'm going to take 10, 15 minutes of your time now to just open up the Bible and reflect on a couple of thoughts. I'd love to read a verse, Luke chapter 2. We read it just now, but it says this in the Christmas story. It says, "But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people.'" I bring you good news that will cause you great joy. I was thinking about some of the moments in my life where I've had some good news that brought joy to a lot of people. The first moment I was thinking about was this one, when Meg and I were basically children and we got engaged. This is the classic hand on the chest. "Oh, you see a ring, do you?" kind of look. So I flew back early from, I was moving back, I was living in Uganda. I flew back a few days early. I laid out some candles in a barn, put on Michael Bublé. Anyone know Michael Bublé? Just, you know, went down on one knee. She gave me a push in the chest. It was perfect, guys. It was great. Great moment. And everyone was very excited, very, very excited. I was thinking about another moment that brought great joy. This was my daughter when she was born. This was nearly 3 years ago over in Vincent Pilotti. She was born. My mother was so excited. She lives in England. She jumped on a plane about 2 days later to come and see Evelyn. And it was just such an exciting time for us, such a joyful time that we got to have. I was thinking about one more moment, which was earlier this year. This is Evelyn carrying some pictures of our son that is due to arrive in 5 days' time. And so Meg is here on the front row. So if you see me jumping off the stage in the middle of my message, it's because something has started. And so Auntie is going to finish out the message for us. But we're getting ready for a new baby to arrive, which is very, very exciting. And so, yeah, it's going to be great. We're very excited to learn how to have two children. I've heard that it's really simple. Guys, it's fine. It's just two, yeah, parents in the room. We're in for a breeze, right? No, okay. Yeah, half the effort. Okay. Okay, fine. We're ready. There was these moments that arrived in my life. I don't know if you've had one of these moments, whether it was maybe you graduated from university and after all the hard work you put in, it was like such great joy, or you'd been praying, believing for a job, and that job finally came through in the career that you wanted, and it brought great joy into your life. But one of the things I was thinking about was how in these moments of great joy, often they are that. They're moments. I was thinking about, I had some friends who, Meg and I, we got to go to their wedding day. And it was a day of great joy. It was like one of these lockdown weddings where you could have about 7 people at the wedding type thing. And it was a day of great joy. And then 2 years later, they separated. And so the moment of great joy didn't last as long as they might have thought that it would on that day. Or maybe I've seen other people who, you know, they were with, they were excited on the day, like me, when their child arrived, but maybe they didn't hang around to actually help bring the child up. It was a moment of great joy, but it didn't last as long as they might have thought. And so when the Bible then says that this is good news that brings great joy, he's talking about, and the Bible's talking about something that when Jesus arrives here in this moment of the Christmas story, that this is something deeper and different than the moments that we experience. There's more to this than we can understand. And so why is it such good news, and what happens with this great joy? That's what I want us to talk about a little bit for the next 7 or 8 minutes that I have your attention for before you all start going on TikTok. So, the generation we live in, hey, back in my day. Anyways, I'm 30, it's fine. So When I was growing up, I was brought up in the 90s, okay? I was brought up in the 90s, and me and Meg had two very different experiences growing up. Meg did not grow up going to church. She's not in a Christian home. And so, whereas my parents were pastors, we had two very different experiences. And we can tell this mostly by when we go to a wedding, and we're on the dance floor, and some 90s music comes on, and Meg is dancing. She's singing every lyric to every song, and everyone's loving it, and everyone's happy. And I'm on the dance floor like, and I like try and join for a chorus that maybe I've heard once. Because my parents, Christian parents in the 90s, they were just trying to figure it out. It was like, this song sounds a bit too crazy. Banned! You know, it was most seen when my parents wouldn't let us watch Harry Potter, but for some weird reason, we were allowed to watch Lord of the Rings. I was like, both have wizards, but my dad took me out of school and we went to a dentist appointment to go and watch Lord of the Rings in the middle of the day when it went out. Because he's like, you'll love it, it's brilliant. My mom's like, what? It's fine. A Christian wrote it, it's fine. So you know, it was an interesting time. But one program that I did watch as a kid growing up, I remember watching, there was this slightly cheesy American-looking guy with a big mustache, and he was trying to explain why Jesus was such good news. And what he used to do was he would take these donuts that had a hole in them, and he would say, your life is like a donut. And you're like, okay, cool. And what he'd say is, in the middle, there's this big gap. There's this gap that you end up trying to fill this gap with different things in your life. And he would say, this is a God-sized gap. So it's quite a simple way for a kid to understand it. But what happened as I was growing up is I started to notice this gap in my life. I started to notice that I was trying to fill my life with different ways to fill the vacuum, the gap that was in me. There was this longing for something more, and I was trying to fill it. For me, I found the gap ended up being like insecurities in my life, that there was a fear in me. Would people like me? I'd start to make fear-based decisions to please people. I would try and make sure I was not being too controversial. I just wanted people to like me. I don't know what the gap has been for you in your life. Many of us try and fill the gap in different ways. Some of us, we try and fill the gap by, we grew up and we didn't have a lot of money. And so we said, that's not going to be my story. And I'm going to work so hard to make sure that me and my family are comfortable. But you get to a certain point where you realize that having the money doesn't fill the gap. Or maybe you had kids because you thought, let me try and fill the gap because maybe my relationship isn't all that strong. But if we have kids, then it's going to make us happier. And then you just got tired instead of happier because you had kids. And you realize, well, the kids didn't fill the gap. I had a career goal, and I went up in the career ladder, and I kept on driving, and I kept on going, and I tried to fill the gap that way, but you realize the gap didn't get filled by those things. Yeah. And I was thinking about this verse in the book of Ecclesiastes, in the first part of the Bible, the Old Testament. It says this: he has made everything beautiful and appropriate in its time. He has also planted eternity, a sense of divine purpose in the human heart, a mysterious longing which nothing under the sun can satisfy except God. And as I grew up and I went through life, do you know what I realized? I found out the cheesy American man on my TV was right. That when he said that there was nothing else that could fill the hole except for Jesus, I found it to be true. And the reason we're all here and the members of our church are here gathering and we're singing and we're celebrating today is because our contention is that Jesus is the only one who can fill the gap, who can heal the human heart, who has an answer to the human condition, that in our loneliness we can find belonging. In our lack, we find peace. Like some, I know people and their stories, people who came into our church and they were desperate for peace. And because there was a lot of anxiety in their lives. And then Jesus showed up and brought peace to them. I know people in our church who showed up in a lot of emotional pain. And now I look at them and they're some of the happiest people I've ever met. And it's not because they attended church every Sunday. It's because Jesus came and healed their hearts. See, that's why we celebrate Christmas. It's because we recognize that His coming means something. It's good news that brings great joy to all people. And here's my, as I've been praying for this service, and I'm seeing some of your faces that I think some people may be here today for the first time. I'm not sure of your stories, but I think what I know about you is this. Every one of us is trying to fill the gap one way or another. And here's what I want to tell you today. The only way that you will fill this gap is through the person of Jesus coming into your life, healing you, restoring you. Because what we believe is that Jesus is still the living God. That's why we sing and worship. We don't believe we sing to about a dead religion. We are in relationship with a God who speaks to us, who brings peace to us, that when we're in pain, He's there in the middle of it. That's why we're here. And so we've been praying, if you're here for the first time, maybe today might be a day that you say, I want to come and follow that Jesus. Maybe you're not ready for that yet. Maybe you've got to go on a journey of considering questions of faith. But if we can just bring up that verse again from Ecclesiastes, the interesting bit to me is this. He has planted eternity in the human heart. I believe in every one of us, there is this eternal longing for something. And why is there this gap? I believe God placed this gap in us because He wanted us to draw near to Him. Because the thing that God wants more than anything is to be in relationship with you. He desires to be close to you, with you, in relationship with you. And so if you're here today, maybe you're here and you're a guest with us. You believe in Jesus, but you've been on a difficult journey in recent seasons. I believe God wants to heal your heart today. Maybe you're here today and you've once followed God, but you walked away from Him. You've not had a relationship with God for a long time, or maybe you never had a relationship with Jesus. And I believe today is an opportunity for you to come and say, I want to follow Jesus. I want to follow His ways. I want to be in relationship with Him. So we're going to finish out our time together now by praying together. And I want to give an opportunity for anyone who says, I've been trying to fill this hole in lots of different ways. But today, let me try Jesus. Let me see if He is not the answer to the challenges I face. I'd love us to pray together. Would you close your eyes with me as we pray? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pray a prayer. But if you're here today and you say, man, I know that today's a day where I need to follow Jesus, either to come back to Him because I've been distant from Him for some time. I want to come and resurrender my life to Him. Or maybe you're here today and you say, I've never followed God, and today I'm choosing to believe in Him and give my life to Him. And in doing so, He wants to bring peace and joy and forgiveness and eternal life with Him. So I'm going to pray. And if you want this relationship with God, you can repeat these words after me in your heart or in your mind. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin, for the things that I've done that have distanced me from You. I believe that You went to the cross and You died the death that I should have died. But You were raised up from the dead so that I could have a relationship with You. Today, I give You my life. Do You use it for Your glory? And would You come and fill the hole in my heart today? In Jesus' name.